This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, the latest fundraising reports for next year's election with Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger. But first, recently President Trump made waves with a series of tweets saying that after consultation with generals, he was banning transgender people from serving in the military. The status of the ban remains unclear since military leaders say that they are awaiting a formal order from the president. We're going to get one perspective on transgender people serving in the armed forces. Dirk Hamilton now lives in Kalamazoo. He served in the Air Force and then later the National Guard, which included a brief tour of duty in Iraq. That was before he transitioned and became a man. Dirk Hamilton, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, first of all, let's go back and talk about why did you want to join the Air Force in the first place?
Well, Gordon, I think that it may be a common story. I grew up in the hills of eastern Kentucky, and I had graduated high school. I was about 3 years after graduation, still living with my parents. College at that time had not been a good fit for me, and so I was really looking for a way to continue my adult life, and so I thought maybe the military would be a great way to get out, see the world, and earn some income.
And what did you do in the Air Force?
I was a supply troop.
And you later served in the National Guard while you were going to college, is that correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do in the National Guard?
Same thing, building off of my former active duty career as a supply technician. I also worked in supply with the Guard.
At that time, your gender identity was a woman, correct?
That's correct. Well, it wasn't my gender identity, but my biological identity was that of female.
When did you leave the Air National Guard?
2007.
And then when did you transition to male?
That process began for me in the summer of 2013.
So as we sit here and talk today and we weigh what President Trump has said about transgender people in the military, you are someone who obviously has a lot of, background here, that you're a military background, someone who transitioned gender-wise. So what are your thoughts about what the president has said?
When I first saw an article last week about the tweet, I think it just brought to the surface some concerns that I had carried since I learned of the news that transgender people were suddenly able to openly serve in the military about a year ago. And some of those concerns were things such as concerns for, it's not that transgender identity in and of itself is not termed or considered anywhere as a disorder. What it does do for some people, a lot of people, is it brings a fair amount of what's called gender dysphoria. And that is a mental health concern because that is a type of depression. And so knowing that, the military is a place where people need to be as fit as possible for duty, both physically fit and, mentally fit, I had concerns for some of those vulnerabilities that transgender people often face with mental health, with dysphoria.
Would the concern then be that somebody may, as they're going through this perhaps a discovery of their gender identity, may be experiencing things that make it difficult to serve in the armed forces?
That was my concern. That was my my questioning. Also knowing, even though I didn't transition while in the military, I know firsthand what some of my challenges were and adjustments to my own mental health, things that I went through that affected my family. And of course, because I love and care for my family, that created additional stress, if you will, or some anxieties and, just some emotional things that have to be dealt with as a person transitions. I know quite a few transgender people also besides myself, and it's just not always an easy thing. And so knowing that persons that are actively serving in the military, if they were to be also transitioning while carrying out their military functions, if they also were contending with these added stresses and strains that you do when you transition, that I could see where, or I had a concern because I could see where that could have bearing on their ability to, perform their duty.
Now you say you had a concern.
Had a concern.
Okay. That's past tense. So has something happened that's made that concern maybe not as great or even go away?
Well, I still have it to some degree because I want to say that this is still a lot of new territory. It's only been a year since transgender people were sort of given the green light to be open about their gender identity and serve in the military without repercussions or discharge. And so it takes time before you can really know how things are going to go. But my concerns have greatly lessened because I went in and started researching how did we get to that point to say we're going to allow transgender people to openly serve in the military, because I hadn't thought about that. And a lot of that stuff doesn't get reported. We don't hear about that, you know, in headline news. And so I found a report that was done back in 2015 when the Department of Defense said, wow, we've got a lot of transgender people, even though it's technically not okay for them to serve, they've been serving.
They've already
they
there.
Keep serving. They're there. They're here. So let's look at what it's going to mean to potentially permit this to become a part of our sanctioned and allowable service members to serve. And so there was the RAND Corporation did a very thorough, in-depth assessment report to provide to the Department of Defense to say, you know, this is our best estimate. And they looked at so many of the things that I had as concerns. And what it brought to me was this reassurance that they're taking all of that into consideration, the gender dysphoria, the added sometimes emotional strain that can go along with transitioning. What they are finding and prospecting is that permitting transgender people to be open and honest about who they are, and then also supporting them in whatever decisions they make as far as transitioning decisions, alleviates so much of the dysphoria or the other emotional strains. And so the benefit far outweighs the concerns.
Did you know anyone who was transgender when you were serving? I mean, there was serving at the same time you were?
Probably, but I wouldn't know it, just as they were serving with me, and they wouldn't have known it.
And they would have not wanted to tell anybody.
Correct.
At that time. So are you surprised to read that there are a fair number of military leaders, some currently who are serving and some who are retired, who have pushed back against this, who have said that this is not a good way to go ahead with the military? Or does that perhaps reflect that they're following the study and that the study is having some impact on the way military leaders see the issue of transgender people serving?
I don't know that I've actually seen or read some of the pushback from military leaders saying it's a concern or a problem for them.
There's been some pushback against President Trump's tweet is what I'm getting at, that they are saying that they're not sure that's the President Trump's idea is the way to go forward.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. Okay, I see what you mean. Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, I've seen that there's a lot of support and that for this past year with transgender people being in the military, it seems like it's been going okay, and I am very encouraged by that. I'm not really envious of it because of, you know, the timing of my own life, but I'm happy for those young men and women who are serving in the military, who have that support. The support of your commanding officer, the support of your fellow service members, it's one of the most validating things, you know, that you can have. Because life in the military, it's unique unto itself. And there really is a lot. It's next to a family. It's probably the most important relationships you can form sometimes with people.
You say you're not envious because you don't, at this stage in life, you're not thinking about going back and serving.
Oh, absolutely
anymore.
Not. But, you know, it's that whole hindsight. You're like, man, why couldn't it have been more okay when my time was in there? But I'm happy for things that the way that they're going now.
There will always be an argument, and it came about when they discussed allowing openly gay people to serve in the military. It goes back to when they desegregated the troops racially. There's the question of unit cohesion. You know, the military is there, you will hear people say, to kill people and break things. It's not a social experiment. When you were serving in the Air Force or in the Air National Guard, What do you think the reaction would have been? And I realize that there's, you know, lots of people there, so there's no one reaction. But, mm-hmm. you know, how would it have been acknowledged if you had said, well, I think I'm going to transition. I think I'm going to start hormone therapy, or I think I want to have surgery. Would that have been something that would have caused trouble amongst the troops?
When I think about the people, both active duty and through the Air National Guard, that I served with personally, and the different personalities, the fellow service members, coworkers, and friends that I made, if I imagine it, I think that I would have been supported by those people. I think that part of what I had to struggle through from having to be closeted in that part of my identity was my own concerns about the intimate living arrangements and feeling like I was having to compensate for this secret that I sort of had out of respect for especially fellow female service members. But a big part of what happens, or at least happened for me, being a transgender person who lived out a good, well, the majority of my adult life, not pursuing transition, not being at a point in my life where I felt like I could or absolutely needed to, you just sort of adapt. It may eventually lead to trouble down the road. And for me, obviously, it did, because it's a type of suppression. You're suppressing a part of who you are. But I do believe that, you know, had it have been permissible and there that this was happening, you know, what is happening now had happened back then, I think of those personalities and those great different characters that I served with, and some of the wonderful supervisors I had and commanding officers. And I think that, in addition to my personality, it would have gone well.
When you look back on your service, do you think in any way your struggles, if that's the right term that you were going through at that time before transitioning gender-wise, do you think any of that limited your effectiveness? Or did you do everything as well as you would have done after you had transitioned?
Yeah. That's an interesting question, and something I had never really thought about before. I certainly had no issues when I was active duty. I think maybe, though, some years later when I was serving with the Air National Guard, I was starting to personally sometimes have tinges of the depression. But it never affected or impacted my ability to perform my job. And yeah, I mean, I was a great airman and rose through the ranks to the level of technical sergeant. And I did a good job. And again, sort of reserved that part of my identity for my off-duty time or my private life, or, you know, however we, you know, arrange things so that they don't interfere and we conduct our jobs. If I compare that to what it would have been like to have transitioned and served, to be serving right now as Dirk, I probably just would have enjoyed life, would have felt a little brighter, just really not having to have anything in that basement, like I mentioned earlier. But performance-wise, I would have given it 110% either way.
Dirk, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Dirk Hamilton served in the Air Force and also in the Air National Guard. Since then, he has transitioned to a man.